If you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, we are going to be continuing. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1. But we're going to continue exactly where Pastor Tim left us off last week. And it's important that we catch up because we're kind of doing, it's almost like part two here. We need to have that foundation or else it doesn't make any kind of sense. So real quick recap. When we say the word holiness and that God asks us to be holy, it makes you feel all sorts of different kind of ways. Some of you are like, yeah, okay, rules, awesome, let's go. Some of you are like, no, don't tell me what to do. Some of you are like, I don't like, and all spectrum, okay? And what God through Pastor Tim last week helped us understand is that when God is calling us to be holy as he is holy, he's not asking you to go and do things. Yep. He's not asking you to stop doing things. He's asking you to be with the Father. Yep. And so this call, it's not an optional call. It's if you genuinely cried out to the Father and asked for salvation, this is on you. Okay, everybody, not just certain ones of us. This is all of us. I'm in there, Pastor Tim, every single one of us in this room that have called out for the salvation of our souls. We're in this. Mm-hmm. God has called us. We need to be like him. Yep. Holiness is in our Father's DNA. It's who he is. Yep. Yep. And so this call for us to be holy isn't something that we do or not do, but this is we be with our Father, yep, and he makes us like himself. That's the difference between religion and the Bible. That's the difference between what we're trying to be as a family and what some other churches that you may have experienced in your past lifetime may be all about. But we're just trying to get you at the feet of the Father and let him do his thing. We're not trying to make you sign up to be able to go serve in this. Man, we want you to be able to be before the Father. And if he says, hey, go do this, start this, then we're behind you. Let's roll. Yep. Because we are all a part of this, and we get to make a difference as we're all standing and being with our Father. Yep, that's how we do this thing. We're not about moral adjustments, talking right. Man, if you say some bad words, it's okay, okay? Miss Lori will forgive you later, okay? Yeah. All right? Yeah. It's not about being a perfect person. This is about, man, hey, we're a family. We're on different parts of this journey, and we're all being cleansed and redeemed and made into this image that God has for us. We're going to have bumps in the road, but we do this together. Yep. It's about being with the Father. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're going to be kind of spring. That's our diving board today. So holiness. We have this call for holiness. We all need to pursue it, but how do we do it? It's not by doing, not doing, but it's about being with our Father. It's about cutting out the excuses. It's about right now, making the decision that I'm going to be with my Father no matter what it takes. It's about reaching out to the person next to you and say, hey, I don't know how to follow God. I don't know how to be with God. Help me be with God. And you do it. Yep. Don't leave here today without figuring out how you can be in the presence of God. Yep, that's it. Be. Man, I need to take a breath. Okay. Now let's roll. So we're going to be springboarding off of that. All right. In a room this size, we've probably at least heard of the Ten Commandments. Okay, that's where you can respond to me. This was the easy question. Just so if this is where we're going to be, just prepare, Chris, prepare. This is, okay. Yes, we have. Okay. All right. And we probably could even come up with the list of the 10 together collectively as a group here, right? I mean, this is something that, you know, even if you're kind of new to the Bible, new to the things of God, it's something that is kind of still out there culturally, right? The list of things to do and not to do. Oh, gosh, now we're back to this, right? What we're going to be doing as we are in 1 Peter, I believe Peter is trying to get to our attention the number three that we've penned it, we've labeled it number three of the Ten Commandments, which is, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And Peter's coming after it. And he's laying this foundation for all of us who have come to faith in Jesus. This isn't an optional thing. This is all of us. He is laying the smackdown for us. He says, do not take the Lord's name in vain. And you're like, Chris, okay, that's fine. But here's the thing. We have settled for a lesser standard for what that actually means. Yep. We've settled for what it means. Okay, Chris, I've never said GD. I'm good. I've never used the Lord's name as a cuss word. I'm good. I've never sworn to do something and say, I swear to. I've not done that, so I'm good. The problem is that I don't think that's the heart of what God is asking his people in the book of Exodus. There's something deeper there. I think God is more concerned with something about our hearts and the way that we live more than just how we speak.
Yep, absolutely.
And so, don't get me wrong, because I see the daggers that some of y'all are throwing at me, and it's okay. I could take it. All right, I'm from Jersey. I could take it. All right. Listen, the way that we speak is a part of it. So don't say I'm belittling it. I'm saying that we need to have reverence for the Lord's name, and we need to be careful how we speak about him. So, but I think that that's just a part of the equation, and it's a whole lot more. And so we're going to kind of be putting all these pieces together today. And what I want us to do is just kind of talk about what is the third commandment? What are we actually supposed to be doing? And we're going to go and we're going to talk about in Exodus to be able to see it. But this commandment has a deep connection to the name of our Father. And you're like, Chris, I know. Right? But listen, not in a verbal sense, but in a reputation sense.
Yep.
In this sense of like how we as his people represent him. So do not take the Lord's name in vain. So represent him well. Okay, so we're just kind of in the kiddie pool. We just put our feet in the water. So I'm just saying, does that feel a little bit more encompassing than just how we speak?
Yep.
That as you are living your life, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Do not put bad representation on him. Oh gosh, Chris, that feels heavy. Chris, you just said that we're not supposed to do, we're supposed to be. We are.
Yep.
But when we truly are with our Father, this doesn't feel like a weight. We understand the name that we bear, and we see that it's a privilege. And that's what we're going to be walking through today. That this commandment is that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God has stamped on us his name.
Yep.
He has placed on us who follow him his name. We are now a part of his family. So now everywhere we go, we carry the name of our Father with us. So take care to do it well. I believe that's the heart behind this commandment. I'm sitting here and we're singing this song, the Lord's Prayer. And I'm like, man, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And what is the first thing that he teaches his disciples how to pray? He says, our Father, may your name be holy. Right? It's this prayer that as we're coming to the Lord in prayer, we need to beg, like, hey, God, may I live in a way that is keeping your name holy. And this is all over. I mean, as we're studying as a study team, we're discussing this. I'm like, gosh, carrying the name of God with us is all over Scripture. And so what we're diving into to connect the pieces is, listen, when we truly understand who our Father is and we understand this great salvation that he's given us, we receive the Father's DNA. So then he's not asking us to try to figure out and act like something that we're not, but he's begging us. God is begging us to embrace the identity that we have. God has stamped his name on us. He has stuck his neck out there. He laid his son out on the cross to purchase us. And so now God is just begging that we would believe it and begin to walk in this day by day. So that's where we're going. And I don't know that you believe that's the case. So I'm going to try to help do my best to try to get us there. But just think about human history, okay? From the beginning of time, have names had weight behind them?
Yep, absolutely.
Right? I mean, from, you know, even medieval times, right? I mean, if you have the last name that's the last name of royalty, what are you born into? Royalty, right? Did you do jack squat to earn that? No, but what happens? When you came out, you got stamped with a name, right? And that name gave you the privileges of the name. So that's why they're careful how they live and what they do, who they interact with, right? The name carried weight, right? I mean, today, what do we have? We have different schools or institutions. If you get the privilege to be able to go to an elite school or institution, what happens? When you graduate, they give you their stamp of approval, and then you carry the name of that institution with you everywhere you go. You carry that education, their seal of approval, and they know that, hey, wherever you go, you're going to take that name with them, with you. With jobs and careers, certain jobs with different companies that we have, sports teams, branches of the military, there's this level of honor and respect to even being part of these organizations. But with that, there's expectations. As a part of this organization, you are going to work in this way. You are going to act this way. You are going to conduct yourself this way. Why? Because you are a representation. You bear the name of that organization everywhere you go. And if you step out of line, what happens? Let's just be thankful that God doesn't do that. So our families, our schools, our jobs, the organizations, they're sticking their neck out there on the line to give us the privileges that come with their name. So the expectation is that we steward that opportunity and that we carry that name well. This is the idea in Exodus. This is the idea that 1 Peter is getting to. For those of us that have trusted, we've put our faith and trust in God, we've called out to him. He has rescued us. He has redeemed us. He's pulled us from our miserable situation, which is marred with sin and shame and regret. And he has adopted us into his family, and we did nothing. And in doing that, we get the name. We are his. And nothing can take that away. So now as his family, what are we to do? We're to carry the name well. We're to understand the weight behind our father's name, and we live it well. And so Tim, I think they don't believe me. So I'm going to read to you. You can follow along on the screens behind me, Exodus 19. And if you're new to the scripture or if you need a little refresher, what's going on is God's people end up in Egypt. And they begin growing so much in number that the people in charge at Egypt are kind of afraid. And they're like, we need to control those people or they're going to overthrow us. So what do? They enslave them. They put them to work. And so Israel is then enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. They're in slavery, in bondage. And in the book of Exodus, you begin to see how God has powerfully redeemed Israel out of slavery. And now he is setting them for the very first time as this nation. He's setting them into this land free. Yep. And that's scary. Because what happens to people who don't have any kind of leadership? I mean, the illustration I gave last service was just imagine taking a whole bunch of middle schoolers and then just place them in the middle of Charlottesville and just say, hey, okay, go. That's scary, all right? And so thankfully, God didn't just place them and just say, all right, good luck. What he did was he called out Moses, and Moses was to be God's representative for these people. And so God spoke to Moses and said, hey, I need you to tell the people, this is how you exist as my family on earth.
Yep.
So he gave them, that's where we have the Ten Commandments. So God is graciously teaching them how to not fall back into their old ways. He is giving them parameters. He's showing them how they can be with him so they aren't tainted, they aren't tempted, they aren't lured back into their bondage and slavery. And so Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6, they say this. This is God speaking to Moses. He says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." And so, what did God just say? He said, "Hey, Moses, I need you to remind them. They just saw that I just redeemed them. I took them out of their situation. Now I need them to be my people." And within that, part of it was, hey, you don't mess around with other gods. Don't try to build yourself another idol to try to, you know, picture me and worship that thing. It's going to lead you away. And then the third thing, which we're talking about today, and as you are in this land where no one else believes, you carry the name well. Yep. You live as my people well. And what will happen? God promised that as Israel, if they would be God's people, the rest of the world would be blessed. Yep. And guess what? Did they do it perfectly? No. But you and I are here today trying to wrap our minds around this great God that has done an amazing rescue in a similar way for them, for you and I. Yep. So that imperfectly they carried the name. That should give us hope. Yep. That's where you smile. That's where you smile, guys, just in case. Insert smile. Yep. All right. And so God's standard now for his family Israel is that they would not go back to their former way of life, right? He said, "I redeemed you out of that." So now he's giving them these parameters so that they don't go back to their sin. They don't go back to their bondage. They don't go back to their slavery. He's saying, "I need you to live as God's family. But be careful. Don't allow the Lord's reputation to be spread poorly in the midst of this unbelieving world." So translation, AKA, the way you live your life matters. Yep. Carry the name with you. Bear the family name. And as you do, the unbelieving world will be drawn to the Father. And that's what we're trying to do as a church family. And that's what Peter's calling us to. So 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse 13 here this morning. So let's read. It says this, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Verse 17, "And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, and not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are not in yourselves, but are in God." Yep. Your faith and your hope is in God. So let's summarize the little bit of portion, and then we're going to try to talk about 17 through 21 a little bit here today. What Peter is doing, he's going through, and he's been talking about this great salvation that we have if when we call out to the Father. and go back and read it. You will not hurt yourself. This will be part of how you can be with the Father. You just ask God, speak to me. Tell me what you have to say about me in 1 Peter chapter 1. Go and do that this week. As we get to it here, Peter is saying, salvation is not the end destination. The goal of life isn't just to be saved and then just, I'm good. How did he start off with in verse 13? This is action words. He says, man, you got to prepare your mind for action. You have to be sober minded. You need to press into these things or else you're going to be pulled back to your former things. Yep. And see, what Peter is trying to help us understand is that salvation is not the destination, but it's the beginning of the journey. Yep, absolutely. Salvation is the beginning of the journey. Right, and so we are free to live with God when we call on him, when we understand who he is and what he's done for us. This is the beginning. Yep. And I don't necessarily understand all of that, but that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach that you just prayed this prayer one time when you didn't necessarily know it all and then nothing in your life ever changed, but you prayed that prayer and you're good. The problem with that is that's not in the Bible. And so the thing that we need to understand with it, and what everybody, all the New Testament authors are inviting us into, is that, yes, genuine faith begins with a prayer. You cry out to the Father and you are saved. Boom. But that's not the end goal. That's the beginning. The whole purpose of this is that we would begin walking with God. Yep. I don't know that we want that. Do you want that? That's what the Bible is offering you. But the way that we live our lives, we don't act like we want that. And that's why we aren't seeing the move of God the way that we so want it to. It's because we are struggling to believe what the Father is telling us. Yep, yep, sure. He's inviting us just to be with him. He gives us identity. He's giving us his DNA. He stamps his name on us. And he gives us all the privileges of that name. Just up for us to walk with it, to walk with him, to be with him. So that's what Peter's doing. He's trying to call us, man. We are not to be conformed to the way that we used to live. But now it is our privilege to be conformed to our Father. Holiness is in our Father's DNA. We can progress. We grow closer to him, not because we do things, but because we are with him. Yep. We spend time with him. And so, what Peter's about to get into here, verse 17. He says this, he says, man, if you have called on him as Father, if you've cried out to him, does he say you're good? That's it? You've cried out to the Father and you're good? You could just sit down and drink a Coke on the couch and just sit? Now, Peter's saying, man, hey, just because you're saved, that's not the end. He says, man, just because you're in the family, just because he is genuinely your Father, it doesn't mean that you get off the hook. He says, man, the Father judges impartially. So we who are genuinely in the family, we don't have to fear that we're going to get kicked out of the family. But what we do have to face is that when we get to the end of our lives, we get to stand before our Father and we get to show him what we've done with what he has given us and blessed us with. Have we stewarded his name well? Did we, with the people in our lives, did we live in such a way that they knew where our faith was? With our resources, was it all about ourselves, or did we look to God and say, God, what do you have to do with this? This isn't my money. This is yours. What am I to do? With your talents, man, what are we doing with this? So Peter is saying, man, whoa. When we trust in God, man, this is just the beginning. Yeah. He's saying, man, now it's our privilege to be able to carry that family name well. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't drag it through the mud. Don't waste these opportunities. Time is short. People are going to hell unless they meet the Father, and we have the privilege to take that message to them. Yep. We have that privilege. And so Peter's saying, man, we got to carry the name well. We got to bear the name well. We got to show this world who our Father is. And so what does that mean? This like frees us to truly live, because we begin to understand that God actually is our dad. So that begins like when you step out and you do things that don't make sense here, like, but he nudged us to do it. Like, yeah, it might be scary, but we're taking this step, and what's going to happen? Oh, I'm afraid that I'm not going to have enough money. Man, he told me to do it. If he's telling me to do it, is he not going to provide? Yep. So when we understand that he's our father, I mean, he's taking care of the grass. He's taking care of all the trees are blooming. The flowers are blooming. He takes care of them. Doesn't he care about us even more? We begin to see the Bible come to life that he's actually our father. He actually cares about you. He actually loves you. And so when we understand that, when we go to work, it's not about work anymore. But we get to take the name of our father there to work. And so that changes the way that we do our actual job, whatever that is. We work hard because we are working to represent him. So I want to give my best because I want mine to stand out from everybody else because it's representing him. But it also changes the way that we look at our coworkers. They're not just these miserable people that just drive me crazy. Man, they're these people that they're hurting, they're broken, they don't know who your father is. So you go and you endure, you have those really long conversations that are gonna make you stay late to be able to catch up for all the time that you just wasted listening to them, because you understand that God loves them and that we have the privilege to take that love of God to them. So we listen, we pray. Work becomes a mission field. When we go to the ball fields, it's not about watching a game. When you're a coach, it's not about the game. Now it's about the fact that you have the privilege to be able to be a representation of God for all these players on your team, for all the parents on your team. So when we go to ball games, it's not just sit gossip hour. We don't lose our cool because the umps are bad. Listen, no offense, umps, but they just miss things, okay? That's just what they do. Okay, everybody, you miss it. They're just set up to fail. I mean, Tim says it was this way. I said it's this way. The ump is wrong. Okay, it's not fair, okay? We're not there to be able to lose our cool about them. We're there to be able to see the people sitting next to us. To be able to understand and learn their stories, to be able to help them navigate life, to listen to them, to point them to our Father. Mm-hmm. When we go to restaurants, when we go to coffee shops, when you're meeting with clients, whatever it is you do, when you're at school, it's not just about school. You, at your age right now, are God's representation. So you have the ability. Are you struggling to find friends? Well, guess what? You are equipped to be an incredible friend to somebody. So you go be that person that no one else is for you. You go be that person. You take the love of God to other people. And so what this is like, really, when we understand bearing the name, this is really like, it just blows up everything that we hold on to in this world. Yeah. It destroys everything that we try to find meaning and purpose in, because it's like, man, okay, I go over here to work and they fire me because I'm talking about Jesus. Okay, go over here. I can make my money over here. God provided me. It's these things just loosen their chains because we're free to be God's people. It's not about trying harder to be something, but it's about drawing closer to the Father so we can embrace who we already are. Amen. Yes. Amen. It's about embracing who God says that you are. It's not listening to your voice. It's not listening to the enemy. It's not listening to other people. It's about you getting before the Father and understanding, what does he say about me? And then you take that and you go and you live it. You be a beacon. So how does Peter tell us to carry the name well? I got three things and then we'll wrap it up here for today. But the first thing, he reminds us that we were ransomed. Verse 17 and 18, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. You were ransomed. So do you think this is an accident that Peter is using this words? Peter knows his Bible. He knows the Old Testament. So what do you think that he's doing, trying to draw to our mind when we read that you were ransomed from your futile ways? Is he trying to get us to think about other ways that God has done this in the Bible? Yeah, so what is he doing? We just looked at Exodus. So he's trying to call your mind to Exodus and what God has done powerfully for those who he loves for Exodus. What did he do? He rescued them out of slavery so that they could be his people. And so what Peter is doing, he says, hey, he goes in to say that Jesus is the better Exodus. That in that powerful way that they were rescued, man, you were rescued even better than how they were. You were rescued by the blood of Jesus. You were ransomed. You were rescued. He paid a price and he spared no expense to purchase your freedom. Personalize that. You might talk about that all the time, but do you feel that? That's the difference. We're not trying to get you to believe and to be able to say all these things. I'm trying to get you to believe what God says about you. Yep. That he didn't, how did he redeem us? How did he ransom us? Did he throw away silver and gold? He says, no, it's not with perishable things with that. He sent his son down to die on your behalf so that you can know you're part of the family. So what does that tell you about how God thinks about you? You answer that for yourself. Peter's encouraging us. You never can forget that you were ransomed. What were we ransomed from? We're ransomed from our old ways, your feudal ways. So again, he's connecting the Exodus, what we read in at the beginning of this. He's trying to remind them that, hey, you were rescued from your sin. Okay, so listen. We talk about this all the time, and it kind of gets belittled a little bit because we don't necessarily wrap our mind. We still struggle with sin, right? But listen, Jesus rescues us from sin. So that means that it has no power over us. That means that the penalty isn't on our behalf anymore. Jesus absorbed that, so now we get to walk in the forgiveness, which blows my mind. I don't understand that. I don't deserve that. But he did that. You're free from your sin. You're free from your sin. You're free from your sin. But it's further than that. It's also, he says, you're also free from your feudal ways inherited from your forefathers. So we're free from sin, but we're also free from the old way that we used to live, the old way we used to think. And I think that a lot of us get bogged down right here because we still get wrapped up in trying to earn meaning. Yeah. I need to prove my worth. I need to work so hard. I need to get these people to like me. I need to find meaning, significance, importance. I need to be validated. We do this in every area of our lives. We are still fighting. Man, can we please be approved? Can I please be approved? And what Jesus does for us, what the Father does for us when we receive salvation is he stamps his name on us. So that means that, hey, listen, you have meaning because you have the name of God on you. You have purpose because God has saved you. You have value because look at the cross of Christ. He spared no expense for you. So when are we going to believe this? Yep. Let's believe this. Let's go to the Father. Let's begin embracing what he's done for us. He has rescued us from our old ways. So we don't have to go and live the way we used to. Yep. We get to embrace this new way of life, walking with the Father and believing what he says about us. And the third thing is that this was God's grand plan. I don't understand this again. So what have you learned about me that I don't understand anything? Okay. All right. But somehow God is proclaiming from these pages that you are not an afterthought. Yep. That you're not his second choice. What does he say? He says that Jesus, from before the foundation of the world, he put the plan of Jesus's rescue. Don't ask me to explain it because I'm just marveling in it. That means that you were worth it, that God had you on his mind, that you are valuable enough that he wants to bring you and redeem you back into his family. So what do we do? Again, I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm asking you to be with the Father. Can we be with the Father? Will you stop allowing the excuses. That's your former way of life. That's the former way you used to live. What is holding you back from being with the Father, from learning how to be able to study the Bible for yourself, to worship by yourself, to be able to pray, to be able to begin inviting people into your home and sharing a meal together and praying and fighting battles together? Because why? We're His. Let's learn to be with the Father. And as we learn to be with the Father, we carry the Lord's name with us to every sphere of life. You want us to be able to rock Central Virginia for the cause of Christ? Look at the wide stretch of people and influence right here. It's not by you trying harder. It's about you being with the Lord more. And as we do this, so will you draw close to the Father, and let's carry His name with us everywhere we go. So if you need prayer here today because you just feel like God is just churning in you, then we would love to pray with you. If you feel like you're here today and you're just trying to wrap your mind around this, you've don't really understand all that God has done for you, we would love to have a conversation with you to be able to help you understand. If you've been on the fence with this whole God, Jesus thing, man, don't delay another day. God loves you and He fought for you. And so today is the day for salvation. So let me pray. Father, we thank You for who You are. God, thank You for defeating sin, death, and the enemy on our behalf. And so, Father, You know exactly what is holding each one of us back, the lies that we're believing about ourselves, the excuses that we're making for ourselves, and even the ways that the enemy and the forces of darkness are trying to hold us back. And so I ask for freedom. I ask for the ability to be able to experience breakthrough through Your name. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us not to be a people who are striving to do a whole lot of things, but to be a people who are being with You and we're content with nothing else. So, Father, have Your way in us. In Your name we pray. Amen.